We start in the bottom of Nzayin with Bet. The Gemara just concluded that when it comes to Shomer Sechar v'Shomer Chinam, they're not Shayachim when it comes to Hekdish. In terms of the Mishnah mentioned Ona, then it mentioned Kefel, Arba v'Chamisha, then in the Shvuata Shomer Chinam, and Tashlum Shomer Sechar. It's not Shayach by all of these, they're all excluded from the same items that are mentioned in our Mishnah. One of the items mentioned in Mishnah is Hekdish. Jinnikin says Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sechar are not Shayach or not in the Parsha when it comes to Hekdesh. So Gemara is going to challenge that from a number of Mishnayot. But the first one is, Reminu, B'nei Ayir Shashachu Chiklehem, V'nignivu, Oshi Abdu. So the B'nei Ayir means the city decided they were going to send all their shekel. They collected their shkalim for the Tumat Alishka. They sent them up to Yerushalayim with Shlichim. On the way, the Shlichim, it was stolen from the Shlichim or the Shlichim lost it. Now, the Mishnah qualifies what happens. In Mishnah, Ramah Truma, Nishbaim Legizerim. If it was already the time, meaning that Rashi here, we'll go with Rashi's Peshad and then we'll explain to us afterwards. Rashi says, Im Shibo the Din. Means that once they came to the Din, when they came to be challenged and asked for the Shkalim back from the Shlichim, and at the time that the Truma was taken from the Lishka, which means that in the Beit HaMikdash, every year everybody used to bring up their Chatzi Shekel to the Mikdash. From those Chatzi Shkalim, they used to be Toreim, which means they took out a portion of those Shkalim. From the portion of those Shkalim, they would pay for the Karbanot HaTzibur and all the Tzorchei HaMikdash. So from that Shuma, everybody who brought up the Shkalim was included. They did this three times a year. And when they did the Shumat HaLishka, when they were Toreim, when they actually took the Shkalim out of the treasury in order to be Toreim and to use the pay for the monies for the Mikdash, they used to qualify that and say that it included more than just all the Shkalim that were there, but also Shkalim that would eventually end up there. So Rashi says the case here is that if when the Shuma was taken, the Shkalim were lost or stolen already, meaning that the Shlichim have no idea where they are, and the owners, meaning the Bnei Ayir, have no idea that they're lost yet. They were not told that information. And then once they get to the din already, the chumah has already been taken. That's the way Rashi is going to hear. So, im mishin chumah chumah nishba'im legizbarim. They take a shvuah to the gizbarim. Why do they take the shvuah to the gizbarim? Because who is the shekel now shayach? The shkalim and the Bnei Ayir take them are hektish or kodesh. But they don't come into the possession of hektish until they reach the treasury in the mikdash. But that's not exactly true, and that's what this Mishnah says. Mishnah says that once the Mikdash is Toreim, takes the Chumat HaLishka off the Shkalim, then all Shkalim that were on their way, according to Rashi, to the Mikdash, and they were lost, but not known that they were lost, and they haven't been brought to Din, the people who were bringing them, those Shkalim are included in the treasury's Shkalim. And once they are included in the treasury's Shkalim, who do they belong to? They belong to the Mikdash. So now, if the Shlichim have to take a Shavuah, who do they take it to? They take it to Gizbarim, the treasures of the Mikdash, because they basically lost money that belonged to the Mikdash. On the other hand, Imlav, if that's not the case, meaning that the Truma was not taken off, or they came to Din before the Truma was taken off, or they were made aware of the fact that the Shkalim were lost before the Truma was taken, Nishbaim of Ne'ayir. Why do they have to take a Shavuah to the Ne'ayir? Because who now has to replace the Shkalim? If the Shkalim don't reach the treasury, the Bnei Ayir have to take a Chatzi Shekel again and send it up again. So Nishbaim the Bnei Ayir. U'Bnei Ayir Shoklim Acherim Tachtehem. After they get Shavuah that they were not Pusheya in the Shkalim, the Shlichim, the Bnei Ayir then have to take a second Chatzi Shekel. Everybody in the city will have to pay a second Chatzi Shekel and send it up to Yerushalayim. Now what happens in Nimtzu'u? Oshech Zerum Aganavim. So Nimtzu'u goes on Abeda, Yechzirum is the Ganavim, they will return. So now they have two sets of Shkalim. The original Shkalim that were taken by the Shlichim now have been returned. And the second set of Shkalim that were taken off by the city to replace the original Shkalim. So what you would think maybe the second Shkalim are Taot. They were done by mistake. They were only taken because they thought the first Shkalim were missing. Where it says, Ebu Be'elu Shkalim, hey. No, that once you take off the Chatzi Shekel, it remains a Chatzi Shekel, even if it was done because you thought the first Shekel was gone. Now, what do you think? Maybe you could prepay next year's Shkalim. You use one for last year, and the extra ones they'll use for the following year. It says, Inolim Lam Mishanaba. Doesn't help. It's all for this Shana, and they basically lost. They have to pay two Shkalim, two Chatzi Shekel this year. Now, what's the problem? What do we have here? We have Shlichim, who are carrying up Shkalim to the Mikdash. Now, either way, they're either taking a Shavuah to the Gizbarim, or they're taking a Shavuah to the Bnei Ha'ir. They're either Shomrei Chinam or Shomrei Sachar. They have to be some sort of Shomer that's taking them up to the Mikdash. And what we say here, they have to take a Shavua.
Shomer
Chinam. Right? Shomer Chinam will take a Shavua. It's possible it's a Shomer Sachar, we're going to see in a second. But it's a Shomer, whatever it is, the reason he's taking a Shavua here, we said before that is no Shavua, but even Tosel says that even a Shomer Sachar, which says no Tashlamim, it's also no Shavua. They're Mufgami Aparsha. So if we're dealing with Hekdesh here, why are these Shlichim taking a Shavua whatsoever? So the first suggestion is, Amar Shmoach Menosei Sachar Askinan. We're dealing with a Shomer Sachar. But what are we doing? Shomer Zachar doesn't matter. He's also Mufkami Parakai Yekadesh. But, Nishbaim Mitol Zacharam. They want to get paid. Shechim said, listen, you know, we hired us to take the Shkalim up to the Mikdash. We want our money. Iyachi. So if that's the case, Gemara says, Nishbaim Mikizbarim. Why would they ever take a Shavuah to the treasurers of the Mikdash? Who pays them their salary? Right? The salary comes from Bnei Ha'ir. Bnei Ha'ir. It's me violation. Say Bnei Ha'ir. So Amar Abba, no problem. Nishbaim the Bnei Ha'ir, but Mamad Gizbarim. They take a Shavuah to the Bnei Ha'ir, but the standing of the Gizbarim. Why? So the Chashad is coming from the Tzad of the Gizbarim. So that even though the Shkalim never reached the Mikdash, they have to take the Shavuah to the Bnei Ha'ir to get their Shkalim, but they also want the Gizbarim want to know what really happened to the Shkalim. So they come and they ask also what's going
to... But does Gizbar really care? Because if they don't get paid for the first...
They won't. In this case, they won't. That's the whole point here. The point is that Nishma was taken off, and they really, the mission writes Nishbaim Ligizbarim. Now Rab is amending that to say not Ligizbarim, but Mamamad Ligizbarim. Because over here...
I'm saying the people will have to pay.
They won't have to pay again. It's the case where they don't
have to
pay.
They're already separated, they don't have to pay.
Right.
Okay.
So the Gizbarim will call them a Poshim. So here, the Shavua will double. It will double as both to get them the Sechar from the Bnei Ha'ir, but also to be poter them in the eyes of the Gizbarim, poter them from Ekdesh. Where it says, Niknevu Oshav Duktani, doesn't say that they were Niknav or Avad, but Shomer Sechar B'Gneva Veidach Yuvim Mechayiv. When it comes to a Shomer Sechar, when it comes to B'Gneva Veida, generally he is Chayav for G'Neva Veidach. Why? What's the dispensation here? Because it's Ekdesh, he is poter. Now what are you going to say? Over here, they were poter him from his tashlumim because Shomer Sechar is mufkam mipashat ekdesh. Aval agrayu mil lifsid? Come on, at least they didn't do what they were mutal alehem. The shlichim did not carry out their shlichut. So what are they going to say? All right, pay us our money. Why should they pay? Over here, where they're not paying for the Gneva Veda, they're being made patur for the Gneva Veda, why should they get this car? They didn't carry out their mission. And that didn't fulfill what they were supposed to do. And number two is, they're not paying them back, the Gneva Veda. So the Bnei Ha'ir are losing out, or the Gizbarim, whoever's losing out over here. Right. What type of claim do they have to get their schar? Well, I mean, what do they do? So Gemara says, okay, Amar Rabba, Nignevu, Belistim Zuin, Abdu, Shetavus, Tavas, Finatam Beyam. So here, this is the statement of Rabba we've seen recorded numerous times here in Bava Metzia, that he explains Gneva Veda is not simply your regular, you know, run-of-the-mill Gneva Veda, where Shomer Sachar will be Chaya, but rather Onis. Since in Onis, a Shomer Sachar does not take upon himself the obligations of Onis. Doesn't take upon himself the obligations of Onis, that means that he's carried out a Shlichut to the fullest of his abilities. The fullest of his abilities means that he's supposed to ensure that they get there, that they're not stolen, and they're not lost. What happened here was an Onis. That he is not responsible for, and Onis is almost, it's an exclusion from his contract. His contract says, if an Onis happens, you'll still get paid, and because you did whatever was demanded of you. So that's the case here. They did whatever was demanded of them. They're going to get paid because the reason that they don't have the Shkalim anymore is a Inyana Onis. Yochanan Amar, Hamani, Rabbi Shimoni. Now, why don't you just explain this price as being Rabbi Shimon? Our Rabbi Shimon that we have in our Mishnah, which is, Damar, Kodshim, Shechaya, Be'achrutam, Yeshlem, Ona'a, Benishvaim, Aleim. Right, that kodshim, where you're chayab achriyuntan, this is the principle we discussed with Rabbi Shimon, that if you have kodshim where you are responsible to replace the kodshim, we consider to you to have a monetary interest inside of the kodshim over here, because you're going to be on the hook if the kodshim disappear. Since you have a monetary interest in the kodshim, Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah that all these dinim, they preclude you from quote-unquote hekdesh, only apply to hekdesh where you have no monetary interest. But in cases where you do have a monetary interest in there, it will be shayach. So this would be the same case here. Why? Because the Bnei, when you send up the Shkalim, you have to ensure that the Shkalim get to the Gizbar. If they don't get to the Gizbar, then the Bnei you're on the hook for the Shkalim. If they're on the hook from the Shkalim, they have a monetary interest in the Shkalim. Because if they don't get there, they're going to have to pay a second time. So that's what it says. So hatinach achelon nitrumah achuma. That works for the well for the second half of the Mishnah, where the Bnei Ayir have to replace the shkalim. The Bnei Ayir have to replace the shkalim. That means they have a monetary interest in the shkalim. But mishnah nitrumah achuma, the first part of the Mishnah, which says that if the chuma was already taken off, according to Rashi, that means right if the chuma was taken off when it was lost or before they got to a din. According to Tosus, means that they before the shluchim lost it, the chuma was taken, and then they only last afterwards. In that case, right? Kochim she'enu chayav achriyutam ninu. These are kochim where you do not chayav achriyutam. Why? Because if the shkalim get lost, do you have to replace them? No. So you have no monetary interest in these shkalim. If you have no monetary interest in these shkalim, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that's real hekdesh, why should they have to take a shvu'ah to the gizbarim? The Tanya, we have a brisa, tormim ala avud vela gavoy vela tid legavot. So here's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfot over here. What is tormim ala avud? Rashi says the avud means literally that which is lost. Meaning that the Shlichim lost the money on their way up to Yerushalayim, and with their terrain even al avud, that which is lost and not known that it's lost already, not known to the Bnei Ayir, and not already come to a din. So that case, that's what Rashi says, Torim al avud.
Kind of like a chilu.
Right, that they include, that it's all inclusive. Anywhere that the Shkalim are,
we
don't have to be, them.
You and I in the street don't have to worry that our money is
No, it's Batel Barov. Right, that it's Batel Barov. Obviously, they're Ganopim here, so we have to worry about that. I mean, the Ganavim were okay about stealing from Ekdesh, because they stole Shkalim. And I mean, they may not have known that they were Shkalim, but they stole. Now, Bala Gavui. A Gavui means that which has already been collected. Any city that's already collected their Shkalim, and either have sent them up to Shlichim, according to Rashi, or they're going to send them up, they're included in this Chumat Lishka. Bala Tid the Gavot. And that which in the future will be collected, meaning that a person who hasn't given a Chatzi Shekel yet, and also now they're giving the carbon tiny meat every day. It's being paid out of the Shkalim. How does he have any, right, Shekhut to this carbon atzibur? Everybody in Kali is supposed to have a portion in this carbon atzibur. So what they say is anybody who pays in the future, the Mafreya, will have a Shekhut to this korban. So that's Alatid Lagavot that we're taking in the future. So now, Tosu says no. Alavud here means not that the Shlichim lost it, but rather Alavud means that it was already given to the Gizbar and the Gizbar lost it. Because Tosu is not willing to say that you can be Toreim Alavud, which means that it's not here. Nobody knows about it. Either it's Toreim when the Shlichim have it, and then they lost it afterwards, or it reached the Gizbar, and then the Gizbar lost it. Either way, that's the way Tosfos assumes that it's going to be good enough to right, be included in Truma over here. No matter what you say, nevertheless, there's a part here where they are no longer obligated to replace the Shkalim. If they're not obligated to replace the Shkalim, that's Hekdesh Gamur. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees in that case, no Shvua. So why in the first part of the Mishnah does it say take a Shvua? They're included because when they do give their shekel, the mafreya, they will be included in this chuma, so that they're not mufka from Karbanat Tzibur.
They give it in time before the last month.
Before the year is over, yeah. Before the year is over. They have to give it within that year.
So it means they're going to give it on time.
That's not on time. On time is supposed to have a report on Chodesh Nisan. Right, on time. But if they give it in that year, that's still that year. Right. That is right. They're still late, but they're still able to be included as long as they give it in that year. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shvua zu takanat chachamim. This Shvua is not a Shvua to Shomrim, but rather a imposition of the chachamim. Why? Shlo yibnei adam salzli bet peshot. What's the problem? The problem is that if we say Shomer Sachar Shomer Chinam are mufka mi pasha, or Hekdesh is mufka mi pasha Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, what are you going to have? You're going to have a bunch of Shomrim that are running around, and there's no recourse in terms of them losing that, having them stolen. And you know how people, it's human nature. Human nature is that if in the end you have to answer to somebody. In the end, if you have to show up in front of somebody, then you're going to ensure that you take care of the item along the way. Here, where they have no obligation of a shvua, no obligation to pay in the end, they're going to be a little bit lax in terms of their shmirah and bringing up the item. So what do Chumim do? Chumim impose a shvua that even though, yes, you're mufka mi parashat shomrim, nevertheless, but if you deal with Hekdesh, you're going to have to take a shvua in the end so that there's some form of responsibility, or not recourse, but a way to ensure that people really take it seriously. And we had this, if you remember, again, we had this in Gittin, when it says, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav, there the Gemara differentiated between when a person has to show up and say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam in front of a din or in front of a base din, versus if he just says it b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. That if a person actually has to say it in front of a base din, he's going to ensure in the front back end when he actually did it that it was really written l'shma and that they really did sign it. He's not going to make something up because people are going to check on him in the back end. If he just brings it, he never has to be checked on. Yeah, he says, all right, yeah, he said it was l'shma, fine. Person, when he knows in the end someone's going to ask from him or demand of him to declare what happened, then a person's more careful. Same thing here. If there's going to be a shvua in the back end, they're going to take it much more seriously in terms of the Ekdesh. Okay, now, Nasich Sechar Inu Mishalim. The Nasich Sechar doesn't pay. Ramile Rav Yosef Barcham L'Rabba. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah Tanan is Nasich Sechar Inu Mishalim. Then the Mishnah in Parah says, Reminu, Socher Tapoel, Dishmor Et Parah. They hired someone to watch the Parah Duma, so it wouldn't be used. But nobody would be Nevad. They wouldn't put an oil on it, so they would ruin the Parah Duma. Dishmor Et Tinok. This has to do with the Tekes that was surrounding the Parah Duma. There was a vikuach, there was a machlokus between the chachamim and the tzdukim when it came to parah duma. Can a parah duma be done by tevul yom? The tzdukim says a tevul yom may not do a parah duma. The pushim said, the chachamim said, yes it can. So bedavka, we know many times when there's machlokus between the tzdukim and the chachamim went out of their way to do it in a public manner in that, to show that the tzdukim are wrong. So by parah duma, they used to make the kohen gadol a tevul yom. They used to make him into a tevul yom. They used to have him touch a sheretz, whatever it is. A tevul yom, then they went to the mikvah, they had tevul yom, and they used to do parah duma. Because of that, they had an offsetting chumrah to make sure that the parah duma was like super, super tahor, even though they made him into a tevul yom. Some of the chumrah that they had was that they assigned or they designated certain kohanim, baby kohanim, that would be their mothers, would then give birth to them in a special home that was up on stilts. So they had no problem with tumat home. They used to grow up in this house where the house was made out of stone. It was totally tahor, and everything they were given was tahor. They were brought up specifically, right? I mean, they were taken away from their families, brought up specifically to be designated to deal with the parah duma. So they'd be like these super tahor kids, and they used to bring them on the animals. They had special platforms, and they were able to work with the parah duma. This is the offsetting factor to the fact that they did it with tevul yom. So, the shmart tinok here is those that were hired to make sure, take care of the tinokot, these young kohanim. The shmart esraim is a separate case of the omer. When it comes to the omer, they used to hire individuals to guard the fields that they were going to bring the omer from. So now, in a normal year, right, they'd hire these people, and Rashi brings two possibilities of what they're guarding over here, that they guarded the zraim because it is sadeh mivakeret, right, that it was a sadeh that grew quickly. It was the earliest stuff, Zerah Omer. It was planted specifically by Hekdesh for the Omer. And then as it started to rise, they used to put up Shomrim there to ensure that nobody touched it, nobody took from it. That they put up Shomrim. The other possibility Rashi writes, which presents a little difficulty, is that it was Shemitah. In the year of Shemitah, the only thing you could bring the Omer from is Sfichim, which is stuff that grew by itself, produce that grew by itself in the following year. But produce that grows by itself the following year in Shemitah is Hefker. So how do you ensure that Hekdesh gets the Omer from this Sadeh? You have to put up Shomrim. The problem which Tosfos raises is the court. How do you put up Shomrim? Then it's not Hefker anymore. You're violating an Isur Shvi'it by guarding the Sadeh, the Zrayim that are found inside the Sadeh. So Tosfos comes up with an interesting solution here. Tosfos says that they used to hire the Shomrim not to stop people from going in there, but to warn the people, to tell them that Hekdesh is planning on using this for the Omer. They couldn't stop them because it's still Hefker. And a person wanted to, he could go in and take it. Nevertheless, they tried to encourage. Right, exactly. They tried to encourage the people not to take it because it was Hekdesh really had their eye on it. So therefore, it was not that they made a demand not to take it, or they didn't shomer in the sense of blocking people, preventing people, but rather shomer in terms of warning those that came. So now all these people are hired by Hekdesh to work on behalf of Hekdesh. Now, ain't nothing lahem schar Shabbat. They don't get paid for Shabbos. Here we're talking about a schir yom. They're paid day to day. If they're day laborers, you can only pay them for the days that they work. You can't pay them for Shabbos because you're not allowed to pay schar Shabbat. Fikach ein achrayut Shabbat alav. Therefore, if he's a shomer sachar over here, and a shomer sachar is only a shomer sachar when he's getting his schar. So he's a schir yom for 6 days a week. On Shabbos, it's not a schir yom. He doesn't get paid. That means he doesn't have the obligations of a shomer sachar when it comes to Shabbat. Hayah schir Shabbat, schir chodesh, if he's hired per week, or he's hired for monthly, or he's hired schir shana, or he's hired for a year, or schir shavua. Shavua here is not, it's not a shavua of a week, shavuat yamim, but shavuat shanim, right, for 7 years of Shemitah cycle. No, nim lo schir Shabbat, there you can do it because it's called nivla. Right, it's included. Schar Shabbat is nivla in the total package that you're getting. Since the Schar Shabbat is not designated or miuchad, you can pay them for Schar Shabbat then. The fikach, achrayut Shabbat, alav. That means, because if you're then a Shomer Sachar, you're Shomer Sachar for 7 days a week. You're Shomer Sachar for the entire time, because you get paid for the entire amount of time. So my lav. So now what do you say this? What does this Mishnah just said? This Mishnah, right, just told us that you have a Shomer Sachar hired by Hekdesh, who is now, when he gets paid for Shabbos, is chayav, achrayut. He has responsibility. What type of responsibility does he have over here? Sounds like if it gets stolen or lost, something happens, they're going to have recourse against this individual. But I thought we said Shomer Sachar is Mufkam in Parshat Hakdesh. Totally. There's no Shaykhut. We don't have a Parshat Shomer Sachar. So my love the Shalem. The Gemara says, no, Lav Sid Scharo. The question is, does he lose his pay, does he lose his schar or not? So what do you mean? If here we pay him for watching the item, and he's paid for Shabbat, if on Shabbat something happens to the item, say, sorry, we can't pay you because you violated your contract, or you somehow did not fulfill your obligations as Shomer Sachar. Mar says that works well for the Seifa. That we're talking about Lafsid Skaro, why Iyov, he ratio, the Tani, Ein Macharut Shabbat Alav, Achidami Lafsid Skaro. What are you going to say in the first part of the first part of the Mishnah said what? That if he is paid as a day laborer, then he doesn't get paid for Shabbat. If he doesn't get paid for Shabbat, he's not responsible, he's not going to get his payment. Wait a minute. If he's not getting paid for Shabbat, how can he lose his schar? He's not getting any schar to lose. Right? He's not getting paid at all. Mi'ilei schar Shabbat. V'abtani ein notnim lo schar Shabbat. You don't pay him schar Shabbat, so what can you be talking about? So he says, ishtik. He was silent. He didn't have a response to them. Amalei mi tishmiel l'chabaha. Did you hear something about this? I mean, that Rabbi Yosef Bechav is asking Rabbi about this. Rabbi is silenced for this. And then he says to Rabbi Yosef Bechav, did you hear something about this? He says, yes, I did hear something about this. Says Amalei Achim Rav Sheshet. This is what Rav Sheshet says. Mishkanom Yado, that there was a side agreement here. There was a side agreement where the Shomer Sachar obligated himself to pay if something happens to the item. So not Midin Shomer Sachar. Midin Shomer Sachar is patur because he can't obligate the Shomer Sachar because of Din Hakdesh. Din Hakdesh is no Shomer Sachar. But they had a side agreement where independent of being a Shomer Sachar, he agreed that he would take responsibility for the item, and he was Meshabed himself or his carcass property to pay for it. Right, not into it, Shomer Sachar, right. It's a side agreement which is that they had a Kinyan because you need Gmir Tadat to create such a obligation between you. So that Gmir Tadat would create this side agreement here. So that's the solution to the problem, is that we're talking about here an individual is responsible not because he's a Shomer Sachar, but because of the Nisbach, right? The addendum to their agreement of being a Shomer Sachar, that he would take, despite the fact that he's Patur as a Shomer Sachar, nevertheless, he would still pay for damages that happen or pay for anything that goes wrong because of his Shia or because of his normal Geneva Ba'ida that a Shomer Sachar is Chayavin. Right now, the case of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to discuss Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, 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 Rabbi Shimon. So an individual went and brought a brice before Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. Over here, they're talking about a case of Asham Gzelot. Case of a person who's nishpa on the item that he did not steal it, and in the end, he really did steal it. So now what happens if it's Shayach HaHekdesh? He did this with Hekdesh. Is he chayav to bring an Asham Gzelot and to repay the item? So this individual brought a price for Rabbi Yisrael B'chav and says, I'll tell you what the source for Rabbi Shimon is. And here's the source in Hashem Zilot. What is that? The Pasuk says, Umala Mal Bashem, the Kichesh Bamito. The Pasuk says that he's Mal Mal Bashem, and then the Kichesh Bamito that he denied through a Shua to his friend that he took his money. Now the Pasuk, it really has an Esnachta. Esnachta is under the word Hashem, Umala Mal Bashem, and then it's the Kichesh Bamito. So the puzzle splits there. What the Braisa is going to do, and the limud here is, they're going to connect the word Hashem to the Kichesh afterwards and the Kichesh to Amito. They're going to use Kichesh is connected both to the Hashem beforehand and to the Amito afterwards, even though it's clear that the Pasuk has a psik, has a stop at the point of Hashem. But that's the drasha of Chazal here. So now this Braisa says, Kochim Shechayav Yachutan, Kochim or Yachayav Yachutan, Chayav. Why are you Chayav? Shani Korebem Bashem V'Kichesh. Even though they're Shayach to Hashem, even though they're Hekdesh, V'kichesh, nevertheless, you still have to pay. Shein Chayav B'achrutan, the ones that you're not Chayav B'achrutan, which means Hekdesh Gamur, Patur, Shani Koreben B'amito, V'kichesh B'amito, that he denies to his friend. So he says, Amalei, Chape Laya. What did you just say? You just said here, if it's pure Hekdesh, then it's Amito. Right, and then when it's not pure Hekdesh, then it's Lashem. But you're interpreting Kichesh differently in each case. You say in one case, Kichesh Bashem means inclusive, and then you say Kichesh Bamito means not inclusive. It seems backwards because you're saying the din backwards. So he says the Ipcha Mistabra, just the opposite makes sense. So I'm like, Yismek, should I take it out of here? Should I erase this Brisa? I mean, I remove this Brisa from the base Midrash? I'm like, no, you don't have to remove it. Ochi Kamar, this is what it means. Kochim Shechaya Beachrutam Chayav. Kochim, when there's a monetary interest in individual, you're Chayav, why did you drive me Bashem Bikichesh? There's sometimes when Hekdesh is Shayach the Parsha. When is Hekdesh Shayach the Parsha? When it's Me'ashem. When is Hashem? That's when it's Chayav Achrutam. V'sheinu Chayav Achrutam. When it's Hekdesh Gamur, where there is no monetary interest in the hedgehog in there, Patur. Why? Dim Ameit Me'amito. It says there, Kikhesh Bamito. So when are you Chayav? You're Chayav when it's Kikhesh Bamito. When you deny a hedgehog, when you deny a lay person, then when you deny through a Shabbat to a lay person and found out, then you're Chayav. But you also can be denied to Hashem and be Chayav. What is the case when you deny to Hashem that you are Chayav? That's when it's Kichesh Bashem and Kichesh Bamito. What's the case of Kichesh Bashem and Kichesh Bamito? That's only a case where there is Kochim Shechayav Be'achriyutan. If you have Kochim Shechayav Be'achriyutan, that's included in the case of Kichesh. But in a case where it's pure Hekdesh and there's no Amito at all, that's a case where we say it's not Shayach the Parsha of Hashem Gzelot. So that's the limud, or the suggestion of limud for Rabbi Shimon by Asham Gezelot. So now the Gemara continues. It says that Rabbi Huda, the end of the mission, says, Afa mocher sifra Torah magalitu beima in lehem ona'a. So that Rabbi Huda extends the list of items that do not have ona'a. Our mission begins with a list of hektesh, karka, right, that do not have, and shtarot, and abadim that don't have ona'a. Really expands that list to include Sefer Torah, Makalitu, Beema. Right, so now Gemara says, what's his reasoning? Tanya, Ryuga, Merach, Mocher, Sefer Torah, Yilayim, Ona'ah, the Fishen, Kids, Lidlamea. Because a Torah is priceless. A Torah is priceless. You can't sign a price to it, and therefore there is no such thing as Ona'ah. There's no market price for a Sefer Torah. Beema, Umarglit, Yilayim, Ona'ah. Why is there no Ona'ah by an animal and a Marglit? M'pnei Shadam, Rotsil, Zavgan. A person, I would have thought Zavgan here means that he wants to breed them. But that's not what it means here. The Zavgan means here is that he wants to, again, buy a diamond or some sort of margalit, some sort of precious stone. He wants to match it with another precious stone that he has. And to find a match is, again, priceless to him because that's something that you can't, if he finds it, it's perfect and he wants to pay for it. Behemoth, same thing. If you have a behemoth that works, you need two behemoth to work at the same pace, at the same strength, be about the same height. So you're trying to find another animal that matches that the animal you have. So therefore, a person's willing to pay more. Where it says, what do you mean? When it comes to all items, people want to match them up. You know, a person has a nice pair of pants. He wants to buy a jacket that matches the pants. I mean, that you have other instances where we find people have a need or a desire to match them up. So Ryuda, Hani Chashivile, Hani Lo Chashivile. Ryuda says, no, there's a difference. People are willing to overpay, to pay beyond market price, to match up a behema and a margalit, match up precious stones. When it comes to other items, people would nice, they'd be happy to find a match, but they wouldn't overpay to get the match. They wouldn't extend, they wouldn't overpay beyond the market price or slightly above the market price to get what they want. But when it comes to these items, people are willing to pay way above market to ensure that they get the right match. Vad kamo, is there a ceiling to how much you can overpay here? Mar says, up to their true value, meaning that you can pay double the market in these instances. So by the way, we saw yesterday, when it came to karka, there was a machloket ha-gonim rishonim about what does it mean in ona le-karkot. We said one possibility is only up to a six, including a six, there's no ana, above that's mitomeka. The other opinion is that there's no ana begamre. It's mufka, no matter what you charge, there's no ana. But there have been otam, the tosafot, and others that the Rif brought it said like this, that there's ona when it's two times, when it's kefel. So one of the things that they point to as being that there is a cap, even when you say Ein Ona, there's a cap, is our Gemara here. If Yehuda says there's Ein Ona by Behemah and Margalit, still says, Kiflayim is the limit. You can't have more than two times the market. Even when there's no Ona, two times is the cap. The same thing by Karko. Just like that, by Karko, even though there's no Ona, there's still a cap of two times. So Tanya Yehuda ben Tero Omer, Ava Mocher Sus, V'saif, V'chatitum, V'milchuma. So a person sells a horse, a sword, and a shield in war, in lahem ona'ah. There is no ona'ah. Why? Because they have been chaya nefesh. Again, in a war, they're priceless. Right? Again, every day on the street, you want to buy a sword, fine, you pay market, there's a price in market for it. In a war, these things are priceless because they save your life. If they save your life, a person is willing to pay way above market to ensure that he has an item that will save his life. So in the context, people are willing to pay way above market. Right now, we have a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah now extends Ona'ah. It's a very, very important Mishnah. So far, we've spoken about Ona'ah in terms of Mamon. Ona'at Mamon, which is that there are monetary obligations not to overcharge, or maybe even Surim, not to overcharge or to undercharge. But you know what? There's not just the Chachamim, and this is what the Mishnah is going to daven, that it's not only relevant to monetary matters. Just like there's ona in transactions, right, in monetary matters, there's also ona in speech. Lo yomar lo, a person shouldn't say to an individual, how much does this article cost? He has no intention of buying it. Shouldn't be, right, you shouldn't be browsing if you have no intention to buy. Imaya bal tshuva, person's a bal tshuva. Lo yomar lo, it's chor masecha rishonim. Remember when you used to eating cheeseburgers? Imu ben gerim, if he's a son of a ger. Lo yomar lo, it's chor masecha butecha. Remember that, you know where you came from. Right, you came from the local, right, non-Jew over here. Shnemar, v'ger lo tilnev, lo til chatzenu. By a ger, the Gemara over here quotes a pasuk which is specific to ger. Here the Gemara quotes a pasuk unique to ger, but not being ma'aneh the ger. That is, v'ger lo tilnev, that you will not afflict the ger, or lo til chatzenu, you not pressure him. Gemara, after this, is going to quote a separate pasuk of onah for all these other items, because this only helps you by the ger, it doesn't help you by the rest. Darabanan, lo tone ish et amito. In the pasuk it says, right, that you should not be me'ane your friend. Bonat dvarim akatu dvar, atamer, bonat dvarim. Right, so that you say, when this pasuk is referring to bonat dvarim akatu dvar, atamer bonat dvarim, is it by onat dvarim, by speech? Oeno bonat mamon. Merely only monetary matters. Peshua mer, the beginning of that parsha, Parsha Bonat, that's found in Sefer Bahar. Right there, these psukim, there's two psukim. One is the pasuk of Lotonet Ishet Amito, but at the beginning of the parsha says, V'chitimku memkar lamitecha, okana miyad amitecha. Right, if you buy and sell, Lotonu Ishet Achiv. They're not allowed to, right, you're not allowed to have Tonet. So we have two times it says Lotonu. Haryonat mamon amur. From the beginning of the parsha, we already took care of monetary matters. We're not doing mamon amur. What about the second pasuk? What does that mean? Bonat tivarim. It's talking about through speech. Ona through speech. Hakeitzad. What are examples of onat tivarim? Imaya bal tshuva yomar lo zchor masecha rishonim. He's a bal tshuva. Don't say, remember what you used to do. Imaya ben gerim yomar zchor masecha butecha. He's a ben of a ger. Don't say, remember your parents, they were converts. Right? And imaya ger ubalu motora yomalo pesha chal nevelot utreifot shkatzim ramashim. You used to eat non-kosher foods. You used to eat cheeseburgers. You're going balu motora shenemar piagvura. You're coming to learn Torah, which is of kedusha. How could it be? Imayu yisurim bayim alav. If a person's being afflicted, meaning that a person's having difficulties in life, I imayu chalim bayim alav, or sicknesses, osheim mekaveret banav, or his children chas v'shalom are passing away. You should not talk to this person or speak to this person the way that friends of Eov did. What do they say? They say, hello, yiratcha kislatecha, tikvatcha v'tom derachecha. So now over here, the word kislatecha, the word kisalon or kis, right, kasil means a fool. So you could translate the Pasha translation, it would be foolishness. Although Tosus over here claims that the word kislatecha means bitachon, that your dependence or your belief. Now, either way, I think you can the pasuk interprets in a very similar manner, which is, "Halo yiratcha." You thought your fear of heaven, right? That you were a yirei shemayim. You thought you were a good Jew, and that "Halo yiratcha kislatecha." You fooled yourself into thinking that you really were a good Jew. You had yirat Hashem, tikvatcha, v'tom derachecha. Your hope was the fact that you were a yashar person. So you fooled yourself with this idea that you were a yashar and a yirat Hashem or yirei Hashem. Tosafot says the other way around, just a similar idea, that it's kislatecha, is that you depended on the fact, you relied on the fact that you had Yirat Hashem, and that you were a yashar person, that you wouldn't have any problems. But what happens? Zecharna mihu naki avad. Remember that when a person gets punished, it's not for naught. I mean, no person who is clean and clear gets punished. Must be that you fooled yourself into thinking that you were really a yashar, but you're not a yashar. So this is what his friends are saying to him. Hey, you thought you were a good Jew, but you're really not. Don't say, that's not what you say to a person who's having a serim. You don't say to them, listen, you fooled yourself into thinking you were good, but you're really not. These traveling salesmen, right? These people who brought wares from city to city. They come to him, they say, we need grain or produce for our animals. Lo yomar lehem b'chuitzel ploni. Go up the street, there's a guy who sells tua. He knows this person never sold tefillah in his life. He just wanted to get them away from him. He says, yeah, go to the guy up the block. But the guy up the block doesn't sell tefillah either. Person should not look and browse and speak about buying merchandise when he doesn't have the money to pay for it. He has no intention of buying it. So now here, it's interesting here that the Mishnah on the first hand talked about specifically Onat Dvarim, where it is Onat Dvarim is that a person simply denigrates, right, or causes pain to another individual. That's the case. Over here, our Bryce adds on, and that's mentioned a little bit in the Mishnah about not browsing when you don't have money, but over here, Mishnah explicitly says it here where a person is lying. A person is not telling the truth. That as included in Onat Dvarim here, a person is telling a person to go up the block and get to why, even though it's not true. So that's not a person denigrating the individual, but you're causing other people duress through your speech. That is also called Onat Dvarim. Not simply, right, denigrating, not simply putting down, but also telling an untruth or telling something that is, or indicating through your speech that you're going to do something you don't never plan to do it, for it's not true, that is also classified as Onat Dvarim. Shariyai Adavar Masur Lalev. In all these instances, everything has got to do with the person's heart. Meaning that only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether you made a mistake or you intentionally did such a thing. Anytime the Torah gives you a mitzvah that only Hashem knows the truth, then it says, Vayaretam Elokecha. Why? Because you can't fear people, because people will never know whether you told the truth or not tell the truth, because it's all in the heart. It's what you thought. So then we say, Vayaretam Elokecha, but you can fear God, because God is the ultimate arbiter, right, in whether you were doing it for his good or doing it for his bad. Or you intended or didn't intend to cheat or to lie or whatever the issue at hand is where nobody else is going to know. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shumai Yochai. Gadol Onat Varim Onat Mamon. Onat Varim, which is the affliction through speech, is much greater than Onat Mamon, which is overcharging people, stealing from people, overcharging. Why? What do you need by Yoreitim Elokecha? You only need Yoreitim Elokecha when you're talking in terms of speech. In terms of speech where it's not clear from your speech whether you meant L'tova or L'ra'a. That we need Hashem to determine. Then Hashem, you have to be Yoreitim Elokecha. By Mamon, that can always be determined. You find out what the market price is. You can find it out. There is no Yoreitim Elokecha. So you see the standard or the problems that are created by Onat Dvarim. You have to deal with Hashem. You're not dealing with other human beings. It's not just simply a transactional or an interaction issue. It's an issue that you've now, right, have to face Hashem. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Zeb Gufo, Zeb Mo'ono. The difference between them is one is that you're hurting the individual. The other one is you're hurting his monetary standing. You're hurting his money. I mean, that there's a big difference. Now, by the way, the Gemara also makes such a distinction. The Gemara in Bodh Zara and other places makes such a distinction between Tzedakah and Chesed. Tzedakah is b'mamono, chesed is b'gufo. That the ma'ala of chesed over tzedakah is that you use your goof to do it. And not only are you using your mamon, but you're using your goof. You say the same thing over here, like the opposite, in the detrimental sense. That if you afflict somebody's goof, that's much worse than you afflicting his mamon. Just like when you give tzedakah from mamon, that's a lower level when you give tzedakah b'gufo. When you give it in your with your actual physical body, meaning that you do chesed b'gufo. And the same with Dreya, I'm sure, be true. If you help out directly the individual, right, instead of giving them the money. So now, it's very simple. What's the difference between them? Money can always be paid back. Loss and damage can be compensated for, right? Embarrassment, denigration, those words can never be taken back. No matter how many times you say you're sorry, the words left your mouth, you can't replace that, you can't rectify the situation. Of course, a clear segue from this Gemara, which is that one is nidan lishavon, one is not nidan lishavon. What's the problem with Onat Dvarim? It's that you're embarrassing somebody. You're causing them pain. You are, right, saying negative things about an individual in front of others. That's Onat Dvarim. So over here, when you cause them embarrassment, you cause them duress, right, that is like being malbim pnei chavero barabim. Someone who embarrasses a person in public is ke'ilu shofech damim. It's if he spilled blood, if he killed somebody. Amalei shapir kamart. Says, you know, you're absolutely right. Why? We know that when a person becomes embarrassed, that the reddish, the complexion goes from red to white. Why is that? Because the blood is leaving his face. Now, Tosu says, you and I know that every time you embarrass somebody, what really happens? They turn red. If they turn red, then it's just the opposite of what the Gemara says. Tosafot says that he turns red because the blood's gathering to leave. It first gets together, and then it takes off. I mean, then it gets red, embarrassed, and then it leaves, becomes white and pale because it's leaving him. So it's ilu gilu shofech tamim over here. Now, amale abayler of dimi b'marofa b'may zehire. In Eretz Yisrael, what are they careful about? Amale v'achverei apay. They're very careful about whitening the face. What does it mean, they're whitening the face? They're very careful not to embarrass people in public. Three people go down, everybody goes to Gehenim except for three people. Mar says, Hakol, Sakadatko. What do you mean everybody goes to Gehenim? We hope not everybody goes to Gehenim, you know? Right, Elaima, call your team the Gehenim, Olim. Anybody goes to Gehenim comes back out. Chutz Mishlosha, Shurodim, Bein Olim. Three people go to Gehenim and they don't come back out again. Veiloim, Abal Ishidish. Right, someone who has Arayot, right, is someone who has a extramarital affair with a married woman. It says, Niuf, Mabim Chay Chaber Brabim, someone who embarrasses his friend in public. Ve'amechane Shame Rada Chaberol, someone who gives a negative nickname to his friend. Calls him by a nickname that is derogatory. Mechane Anu Mabim. It's just, that's a subset, a subcategory of embarrassing your friend. When you give a person a derogatory nickname, then you're just embarrassing them. That's the same thing. Where it says, Afagav Dashbe Bishmei. Some label statement in the Gemara here. Even though people, right, call them by that nickname, meaning that nickname is stuck so well that people, that he's no longer embarrassed by the fact that people call him this nickname because he's so used to it. Nevertheless, you know how to call him that. That if you call an individual a derogatory nickname, even though he's not embarrassed by it anymore, then that person is Yered Yeinom Bein Olinim. It's an unbelievable, right? It's an unbelievable obligation. So a couple things to clarify over here. Tosus, which is book Tosus over here, clarifies in terms of what does it mean that Yered Yeinom Bein Olinim. Tosus actually says there are three categories of going down to Yeinom. If people go down to Yeinom and they come out right away, Olim Miyat, they come up right away because that's enough of a punishment for them, then they come up. There are certain people going to Yeinom, right? And then they come up after 12 months. And then Tosus quotes one of those examples that has a Baal Eish Adish. Right? Someone who has an extramarital affair with a married woman. In that case, right, they go to Gehinom and they come out of 12 months. And that's what Tosus says. Our minhag also of saying Kaddish only for 11 months, not 12 months, is because Rishayim Nidonim Gehinom for 12 months. We need that Kodesh. Then Tosus says there's a last category. People go to Gehinom, they go down and never come out again. That's people in line the Chelik Olam Abba. Those are people that don't have Chelik Olam Abba. We'll see the Gemara later on that says, "Amal bim pnei chemero berabim in lo Chelik Olam Abba." Those people that ain't lo im Chelik Olam Abba go down to Gehinom and never come up. Never come up means never come up at all. So our brights over here, which is quoting that the shlosha shiyodim in olim, in olim means like other people that go to Gehinom. Other people go to Gehinom come out right away. So in olim here can mean in olim either in olim until 12 months, or in olim means in olim the gamre, because you have mixed pieces, different pieces of that puzzle over here. The last thing, which is a chidush atzum of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says this in the Mishnah Avot. He quotes it in his parish in the Mishnah Avot, and he also quotes that that's in Perek Gimel and Avot and Mishnah Yudbet, and he also quotes it in the Shari Tshuva, in Shari Gimel, right, in the third part of his book, in Shari Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, when he's listing all the Avirot that a person can violate, he lists the same chidush over there. We have a principle of Yerag V'al Yavor. There are three cardinal mitzvot, or cardinal Avirot, which one may not violate, he has to give up their life for them. What are they? But it's, right, the Avodah Zarah, Shvichut Damim, and Arayot. Now, the Gemara in other places discusses what are subcategories of Avodah Zarah and subcategories of Arayot. For instance, a person may not use Atzei Asherah Litra Potban. You cannot use them as medicinal uses Atzei Asherah, even though they themselves are not Avodah Zarah, but rather a Tashmishei Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to use them. By Arayot, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a case where a man was very sick. He fell in love with a woman. He was so sick, he was lovesick in the real sense, that he was going to die. He was a married woman. And he said that the doctor said in order for him to survive, he would have to have relations with this woman. Muhammad said no. So he says, okay, maybe if he just saw the woman, if she just walked by him and she was naked, that would be enough. Muhammad said no. That even what's called a Bizrayu Arayot, anything that is even remotely close to Arayot, over there has a din of Yerag Aval Yavor. We don't find Beshbichut Damim that there's any Abizrayu, which means that there is, what's the Nisbach or added category to Shbichut Damim? Rabbeinu Yonah is mechadesh shechidush atzum here that a malbim pnei chaveru rabim is an extension of shvichut damim to the extent that you have to be Yarak Ve'al Yabor. That you have to give up your life before your Mabin Pnei Chamero Brabin, because it's an extension of Shvichut Damin. Most of the Rishonim do not agree to the Chiddush of the Rabbeinu Yonah. It's an unbelievable Rabbeinu Yonah that you know that Mabin Pnei Chamero Brabin, he takes it so seriously that he's willing to say that it's Yarak Ve'al Yabor. It's one of the cardinal sins, and you would have to give up your life rather than be Mabin Chamero Brabin. I'm going to stop over here.